You may have heard this week is known as Thanksgiving. And that means a lot of things to a lot of people. For some people it means family, some it means football, some it means food. A lot of things seem to start with the letter F. I want you to look with me though at our text again, 1 Chronicles 16. And listen to the proclamation. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him. Talk of His wonderful works. When it comes to Thanksgiving, it's an act, it's not a day. When it comes to Thanksgiving, it's an attitude and not just a behavior. So I have a few thoughts that I want to begin with as we look at everything from to whether you're the turkey or whether you're the pilgrim. Thanksgiving really is a time where we are blessed to be in the presence of God. It's a behavior as far as not just a day, but a lifetime. It ought to reflect our spirits and our hearts more than it ought to reflect a day on a calendar. And in that thought, I want to tell you something that you may or may not have thought about. Thanksgiving is not a religious holiday. And by that I mean it's not a prescribed day in Scripture written down that you shall observe thanks on this day. In fact, there is some indication when Paul wrote the Galatian church that that's kind of falling back into the old ways of feast days and festivals. Where Paul talks about how that they were turning back again to their weak and beggarly elements. You observe days and months and seasons. Having said that, I don't want you to think that I think that Thanksgiving is anti-Christian. I think it's very Christian. I think it's what we ought to do and who we ought to be. But the problem is when we relegate it to something that it's not and put it on a holiday. When I was in school, I was taught all about Thanksgiving. Now, some of you may remember back in the 1600s that there was this feast between the Indians, but we have to say American, Native Americans now, and the colonists from Plymouth. And that's kind of the beginning of our Thanksgiving feast. They shared in a feast. I was doing some research on that, and probably more than turkey, the menu probably had lobster and seal on it, just to let you know, in case you wanted to change your menu this week. But when we look at that time of Thanksgiving, and it was all the way into almost two centuries later when Abraham Lincoln announced a specific day. And after Abraham Lincoln announced a specific day, a couple of other presidents changed it around, and so as far as looking at this day and saying this day is it, this day is just one of many days in which we should give thanks. I am grateful. I am thankful for our American heritage. I'm glad I live in this land. I'm glad that there are turkeys and lobsters and whatever else it is that you need out there. But I want you to know that I'm talking about something a little bit deeper than that. You see, I believe that Thanksgiving is a spiritual discipline. It's a part of my life that I make a part of my life that I intentionally say, it's who I am. 1 Chronicles 16, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make His deeds known among the people, sing psalms to Him, talk of His wonderful works. Glory in His holy name, let the hearts of the people rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done and His wonders and judgments of His mouth. You see, it's a remembering, it's an ongoing part of who we are. And it's what we proclaim to the world as to why we are who we are. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Paul writing the church said, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. When we pray, it's a time that we break out and we do thank God for things. I suspect one of our problems is we are too generic and not specific enough in the things that we are thankful for often. If you look at 1 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 5, Paul writes the young preacher Timothy, and he said, he's talking about foods which have been questionable and where they came from and where they offered to idols. And he said, food which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and there is nothing to be refused. It's to be received with thanksgiving. It is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. He's talking about food, but he's also, I think, we can make a broader application of that. What God created was created for our good. What God created was a blessing for us. What God created was to make us better and not worse. What God created is for us to honor Him in prayer, to be received with thanksgiving. And that gets down to the attitude. We live in such a gimme-gimme world, and our hands are always out, and we feel so privileged and deserving of this or that. When we stop and think about it, all the gifts that come from God are blessings that we do not deserve, but that He gives us freely. You see, when God created man and He placed him on the planet and He placed him in the garden, sin entered into the world. And ever since that first man and woman committed sin, it's been repeated throughout every person who's ever lived that we commit sin, except for those small children who are not culpable of their own action. So why can't we be Thanksgiving, thankful people, not just at a time of Thanksgiving? So let me ask the question, what are you thankful for? What is it in your life that you're actually thankful for? If I were to ask you to make a list, you might say things like family or food or different things like that. But I want you to think specifically in your life, what are you thankful for? Who are you thankful for? And what have you done about it that you're thankful for it? Who have you thanked? Have you acknowledged? Who have you made a part of your life? In fact, I took an unofficial, unscientific survey this week, and you may have been a part of it. It was on my Facebook page. It doesn't all fit up here, but let me tell you why it's unscientific. Number one, it was Facebook. Number two, it was people who are already my friends. They tend to congregate as a certain kind of people. Number three, it's not been replicated unless y'all want to agree to it. So some of the things that were spelled out and in different degrees of specificity were God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, salvation from my sins. They're what I call the holy presence of God in our life, the thing that makes a difference to us. And I would expect that of my Facebook friend and my Christian friends. I would expect us to look at all that God has given us and that life and breath and all the things that are spiritual and heavenly and every good gift that comes down from above comes from God. I believe that. But I believe there's no greater gift that He's ever given than Jesus Christ to die for my sins. And then I have to ask myself, how do I reflect that in my life? Do I really believe that He's the Savior? Because if I believe He's the Savior, and I know people who don't know Him, am I telling them the greatest story in the world? I believe that God spoke creation into existence, and we live on this planet and in this universe. I believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit inspired the very works of the Bible itself. And we could go down a long list of those spiritual blessings that we have, and I hope that you will, and you'll enumerate them in. Maybe even take a piece of paper and write down these kind of things that you need to look at. The second thing that came up on my list was family. And we've been blessed. As I look across the congregation today, there are a lot of families. Not perfect, not without problems, not without ups and downs, but we've been blessed that we have good people to love and that love us. People were specific about being thankful for their spouse. My wife was thankful for me. And I am thankful for her, our children and our grandchildren. When we look at what God has done for us, we've got a lot to be thankful for. God has blessed us for jobs, for God's grace, for forgiveness, for modern medicine, for salvation, for church family, for fellowship, education, and mercy. When we look at all of the things that God has given us, I noted how specific some of those things were being. Ellen's here with her family today, with the Hardwicks, and I noticed on her list she wrote, for her dad's survival and his thriving. That's a specific thing to give thanksgiving for. And I noticed about one more line down and it said Isabella's health. We need to be direct and look at those things that God has blessed us with beyond our comprehension. I think of people like Bill Drum, who was standing up here just a few minutes ago and thinking about the advances that it caused a man whose heart was not functioning right to be able to stand in the pulpit and to say 5 weeks later he's going to work this afternoon. Our God is a great and good God. What are the things that we're thankful for? I believe that James says it well in James chapter 1 and verses 16 and 18. He said, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning." If I understand that, and you don't have to be deeply theological or know the original language to figure this one out, there's nothing you have that blesses your life that didn't come from God. And there's nothing you have that's not a blessing in your life that came from Him. We get into trouble when we leave God, not when we draw to God. We get into trouble when we follow our own ways instead of His way. Don't be deceived. You didn't do it. You didn't accomplish it. Nobody gave it to you short of God Almighty Himself, and for that we are to be grateful. But He says something else about the gifts that He gives us. They are perfect gifts. You see, you don't need a do not return policy or cannot return policy on a perfect gift, because God doesn't do anything halfway. When God blesses, He never burdens. When God blesses, He picks us up and never puts us down. When God blesses, He brings us into the family, not out of the family. And we need to understand the source of those gifts is heaven itself. And we need to put ourselves into His mercy, into His grace, into the receiving of the blessing, with whom there is no variation, it doesn't change, there's no shadow turning, there's no take back, there's no second chances. When God blesses, He blesses. And so that comes up to what I want to spend the rest of our time talking about. How do we show gratitude? And I'd like to, at this point, kind of expand it out, not just to gratitude to God our Father, with whom deserves all that we have, but who are the people that have blessed your life? I think during this season of Thanksgiving, it's a time for us to think of those people who are influential on our life, who've blessed our life, who may not even know how important they've been to us, and in our faith, in our family, in our education, in our health, in all those areas that we look back at and we get so busy in life that we forget. It's no wonder if we forget about God sometimes, because we forget about what happens in our own lives. First and always, we must be thankful to God, for He has blessed us. Philippians 4 verse 6 says, "Be anxious in nothing, but in everything." I didn't highlight the word everything, but it probably should have been. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And here comes the blessing in that. It's not just a one-way communication. It's just not what I give to God. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." There is a blessing in thanksgiving. There's a blessing that we receive because we acknowledge we've been blessed. There are a number of people sitting before me today, if not all, who've blessed my life, who make me better, who bring me closer to heaven, who bring me closer to You, who allow me into Your lives at some of the best and worst times of Your life. Allow me to share the hope of heaven with You and to face down the devil himself. So how often do you pray? I'm not talking about the little prayer at meals, so I support prayers at meals. I think we ought to be thankful for our food. I'm talking about how many times do you get down on your knees or lay down in your bed or hold your head in your hands and say, "Thank you, God, because today I got up and I got to breathe and I got to love my family and I got to hold my child and I got to be in the arms of the one who's loved me for a whole lifetime. I've got to see my parents today. I love You, God, and I thank You that I have a job to go to, that I have a place to be, that I'm not like those people who have no place to sleep tonight." There are people who really do sleep in cardboard boxes and under bridges, and you don't have to go very far to find them. There are people who don't have anything to eat today, and they won't have anything tomorrow. We sit around worrying about what we don't have and what we can't do and what we haven't got, when the instruction is, be anxious for nothing. God has blessed you. Give thanks. Pray about it. Ask God, believing, and He can deliver those things that we need. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15 says, "For all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." Thanksgiving may spread. You see, if you're thankful, the person next to you might learn to be thankful. And the person next to him might be thankful, and then the next one. And then eventually, when all of these thanksgivings and praises and gratitude are made known, guess what? God gets the glory. God is the one who gets the glory. Not me. I'm just His child. Not you. It's not, look at me, how many people I checked off and how many people began good to me. It's, look what God has done through this one and that one and another one, and the blessings that God continues to put in my life. Jeremiah in the Old Testament, chapter 30 and verse 19, in the middle of that verse, talks about God's people. And he says, "Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry." I believe that we can't help but be thankful to God when we see His blessings, both manifest directly in spiritual ways and manifest through the people who are in our lives, the actions and opportunities that God gives us. Grumpy people are not thankful people. You may know this. In fact, sometimes you may be this. People that look around like they've been baptized in vinegar have not been born again. What we need to do is we need to express the glory of God through what He's done for me. We need to be able to understand who He is and whose we are. For out of them God's people shall proceed thanksgiving. For there are people who will never hear my sermon that will hear yours. There are people that will never hear me praise God that will see whether or not you do, whether or not you honor Him in all that you do. I borrowed a slide from one of my son's old sermons. He didn't get it from me. It's one from a book that he read by Dr. Robert Emmons. Dr. Emmons has done a lot of work on what's called gratitude and the works of gratitude. And I want you to listen to what he said. To have a momentary experience of gratitude is not the same as having a well-honed, grateful disposition. People who are disposed towards gratitude are more apt to notice what is going right in their lives. Seeing the role that others play in these good works and expressing gratitude towards others in words or deeds, they are prone to not to be taking things for granted. They have developed the skill of noticing and appreciating and communicating. What Dr. Emmons is saying is, let's get practical about this thankfulness and this gratitude. Not just for a moment, just I'm thankful for turkey and I'm thankful for football. You can be thankful for turkey and football. I'm all for it. Good. But that is so minuscule to what God has done for us in our lives. Who are the people that God placed in your life that have made an eternal difference? And who are the people God's placed in your life that you're supposed to be making an eternal difference for? And have we ever shared that with them? Some years ago, I was preaching a gospel meeting. A lady came up to me and she said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I hate that question. Just in case you ever wonder, the answer is I should remember you. She said, "You preached a meeting here 15 years ago. You baptized my daughter. Do you know who my daughter was?" "Lady, I didn't remember you." I didn't say that. A little more couth than that. And then she said, "That made all the difference to our family. And if you ask me now, yes, I remember who she was. I remember her daughter, and I remember the night I baptized her, where I baptized her. It was raining that night. But somewhere in the synapses of my brain, I had lost that fact. But on those days when I feel like, does it make a difference? Does it matter at all what I do? Has my life been worthwhile? Anything?" It doesn't take much gratitude when somebody touches you and says, "You made a difference in my life. You helped me to find Jesus." I made a practice a long time ago. I've got a file in my office. It's more of a drawer now. And I put all the good thank you notes I get in there. I take all the letters of complaint and throw them away. It works better for me that way. The question is, who are we allowing to know that we are grateful that they are in our lives? Sometimes those letters to others need to be written. Paul wrote one to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 3 through 6. He said, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, without ceasing. I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded also in you." One of the things that Dr. Emmons decided from his research, or has seemed to have concluded from his research, is that if you write letters of gratitude, that they need to be specific. That they need to be for real, not just saying, "I'm thankful that we went to high school together. It's not a great thing. I mean, it's not a bad thing, but I'm thankful that you spoke to me, that you sat by me. I'm thankful that we got to have a birthday party together. I'm thankful that you included me in your family. I'm thankful that you were my Sunday school teacher." That's better, but what about, "I'm thankful that you taught me about Jesus. I'm grateful that you showed me about salvation." Are that list of things that I printed up just a few moments ago that you taught me about forgiveness and mercy and grace? I'm grateful that I have a Savior who loves me. Emmons wrote in the little book of gratitude, "Writing a letter of gratitude reduces the feeling of hopelessness in 88% of suicidal inpatients and increases level of optimism in 94% of them." That's a pretty strong statistic. Writing that letter that sets down something specific that says, "You made a difference in my life. You wrote that letter. You made that phone call. You held my hand. You listened to me cry." I remember some years ago when Lim was working in foster care with Agape. There was a young man who was 18 years old, and we held his first birthday party. I didn't know people didn't have birthday parties in the United States of America. You see, those kind of things tend to make a difference in people's lives. Does it mean that everything's guaranteed to be perfect? No. But it means it changes our spirit. And if I can do that to men, how much more will my thanksgiving be to God in those times? Let me give you one other verse, and then we'll close this lesson this morning. It's the one over in 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul said, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It is God's will that we be thankful, thanksgiving people. That it spreads beyond just our prayers or our Novembers of our life. That it goes into every aspect of our life and our relationships. That God wants us to be thankful. In essence, those of us will preach a sermon about Jesus when we show people that we're thankful for what He's done for us. And when we ignore what He's done for us, we seem to be quite ungrateful people, for Jesus went to the cross and He gave His life and He took my sins with Him there. And now I'm waiting for Him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord." Somebody asked me one time, "Do I fear hell?" I don't like hell, but I don't fear hell because I know the one that's already gone through and promised me that if I'll be faithful to Him, that I don't ever have to worry about hell, that heaven will be my home. And yes, for that I'm thankful. I'm thankful that my sins were washed away as a believing young man of the age of 12 who confessed the name of Jesus and was baptized into Christ to have my sins washed away, raised me up to be a part of this wonderful, beautiful kingdom called the church. I'm thankful that even when I fail and when I fall, that I can always come home. I'm thankful that Jesus loves me and that He's all about answers. It's just whether or not we're willing to yield our way to His and be thankful there's a way home. We can help you this morning anyway. Won't you come while we stand and sing?